And then I want us to think about what it means to take the name of Christ. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, most of the time we think of that as like saying his name like a curse word. That's not the main meaning of that. What it means to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain means I'm going to own his name. I'm going to take it. I am a Christian. Here, where we're at right now, to take the name of the Lord means I'm going through those baptismal waters right there. And I'm going to join his church. I'm going to be a part of it. I am taking his name. I belong to him now. I am a part of his bride. So we take his name and we don't live up to that. You see, the problem today is that we're not facing severe persecution like that. So there's really no test for how sincere we are in that. Because if you going through those baptismal waters meant, man, I'm putting my life on the line, I'm putting my livelihood, I'm not just putting mine, I'm putting my family's life on the line. Because think about it, parents, you get baptized, your children get to go with you. As you're running for your life, you're going to obviously take your children with you. And what happens if you get thrown in prison? What's going to happen to them? Maybe they'll go to prison with you. Maybe they won't be. Maybe they'll be taken and indoctrinated in the latest satanic ideology. I mean, that's what the Catholic Church would do. They would take young children and indoctrinate them in the Catholic teaching. Yeah. Heard of that stuff happening now in the society we live in? Kidnapping children? The government doing it because you don't believe right. And they indoctrinate you in the way they see fit to follow their false god. The same stuff happens today. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. But you take that name and now you put everyone at risk. That's how it was for them. I'm serious. I mean, they were running. They'd run from city to city. They'd try and make a life, and maybe they'd be there for a year, and they'd get found out. Usually it was their own fault because they were talking to people and trying to share the gospel with them. Obviously cautious and doing it a little different than we do it, but building relationships with people and beginning to share things with them and see how they react to it. But eventually word would get out, and then sometimes it'd be late at night. There'd be, man, they'd just get snatched on the street. Or the door would be getting kicked in into their house. An illegal search and seizure is what we'd call that. And they just take them. And if you got, maybe you were able to escape, because you're going to plan, if you're living like that, you're going to plan an escape route. You're going to plan your way out to always be ready. And maybe they'd get out and then you'd run to the next city if you could. Just always running for your life. And your children are going with you. Why? Because you took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you said, no, I'm a Baptist. I'm of that group. I'm not ashamed of him or his doctrine. I love my blood bridegroom and his doctrine. But that's what it cost then. But now, it doesn't cost that. Do you know that? It doesn't cost us that now. You do that then, it's pretty certain you're real. Not always, because they'd send informants. But for the most part, if you're willing to do that, it's pretty certain what you've got is real. And you truly want to follow your Savior. But today, how do we know? How do we know today? How can we tell? We can take people's word for it. And to some degree, we have to. Even then, they had to. Now, yes, I love the Lord, and I want to be a follower of him. But you know the number one way? I take it back to the Bible when John the Baptist, in the first mention of baptism, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance." thing not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. So don't look to, you know, what you were born in. Said, show me that you've repented. I want to see the fruit worthy of repentance. I want to see the real thing, the real deal. Because there's fruit with repentance. He says, and I want to see that. That's what he wanted to see. So how do we tell in this day and age in which we live? Because there's not much persecution. I'm not saying there isn't any, but there's not much. It doesn't really cost anything. You can go to whatever type of Christian thing you want to. You can go to the Church of Satan if you want to. You can be a part of all that. So there's no real cost to it. So we take the name of the Lord thy God. When we go through those baptismal waters, we're taking his name. We're saying he is mine and I am his and I am dead to self and I am living for him. That is what we're declaring. I am living for him, not me. I am living for Jesus Christ. So how can we guard that, guard his church, his body? What can we expect? Here's what we can expect. We can expect people to be faithful. Amen. To be faithful. See, we don't get to disconnect God from his church, or his church from him, rather. We don't get to do that. You cannot prove that biblically. You never can. You'll never be able to in the Bible. Try. If you're trying to justify why you've taken his name in vain. You don't get to do that. You can't. You won't find it in there. I've never found it. The body's inseparable from the head. If the body separates from the head, there's death.
Amen.
That's it. And then you're not following his doctrine. You've lost your candlestick. The church has. So what do we expect? How can we live up to the name we're taking by being faithful? Faithful. Faithful means you can count on and depend on that person to be there. That's what faithful means. When I was back in military school, it was my freshman year, I was 14 years old, and that was the first time I started lifting weights. And we had bunk beds. I think I've told this story before, but I'll go through it again. Maybe someone here hasn't heard it. But we had bunk beds, and basically your bed was on top and your desk was underneath it. And this was my first time lifting weights, so I went into the gym and I did it, and we did some squats. Squat is where you put the bar across your back, and then you just kind of go down like that and lift it up, and that really works your thighs. And you just do whatever, however many number of sets and reps, and then you're done. And the first day you feel fine. The first day you lift, you always feel fine afterwards. But if you've never done it, you don't know that something is going to happen to you. And that something that happens to you is you are like more sore than you've ever been in your life, and your muscles hurt like crazy. But you don't know it. So what happens is at military school, your alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning. And it's underneath on the desk. And so since you don't know that, you swing your feet out of bed and you just push off and you land, turn your alarm off. But when you've lifted weights and you don't know what to expect, you hear the alarm, you swing your feet out of the bed, you push off, and you just collapse on the floor. And that's exactly what happened, because my legs hurt so bad I didn't realize what was going to happen. I had no clue. But as soon as I hit the floor, I just collapsed and went down. And my roommate looked at me and he just started laughing because he knew exactly what it was. And he was laughing at me. And I was just there like whimpering like a baby, like, on the floor, just kind of crying about it. And you say, well, what does that have to do with what you're talking about with the church? Because I said, you can't sever the body from the head or it's dead. So when we take the name of the Lord, we need to be faithful. You say, so what is faithful? Faithful means you're always there. Faithful means you're a part of what's going on. You say, well, but all your body was there, right? I get that. All my body was there, but here's the problem. Part of it wasn't functioning right. Part of it wasn't functioning right. And because it wasn't functioning right, it caused the rest of my body to hurt when I fell on the floor. And that's just an illustration of, now what if I was missing a part? What if a part didn't show up? Then obviously you're going to be hindered. That was temporary, and it went away, and I was able to get right back to doing that. So what does it mean to be faithful? It means your body is there when you need it. It means you can count on your body to do what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
That's what faithful means. That is the baseline of faithful. The baseline. When the body assembles, all of it assembles. That is faithful. And that's what we require of members. And we require it of members. Why? Why do we require it of members? Now let me back up and ask. You all answer me. Is a church legislative? Does a church make laws? Anybody? Does a church make laws? No. No, a church does not make laws. So what does a church do? What is a church? We are what's called executive. We are executors of His testament. What testament? The New Testament. The New Testament. What He's given us here. We execute what He has said. Well, what's the example He's shown us? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. So we require it as Liberty Baptist Church because God requires it.
Amen.
That's why we require it. We're not working outside the parameters of the New Testament. We're not adding to it. We're doing exactly what God said. In Acts chapter 2, there was on one day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, 3,000 souls were added to the church in Jerusalem. And it says of those 3,120 people, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. Those people that were a member of that church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfastly, meaning not wavering, not back and forth, not fickle. They continued steadfast. That's the Bible example we see. So are we taking God's name in vain? Are we saying, I belong to that blood-bought throng? I have died to self. I have gone through those baptismal waters and said, no, I renounce the world, the flesh, the devil, and I am going to live for Jesus Christ because He's my Savior. I am taking His name. I am now a part of His bride. I am going to live for my Savior, my King now. I'm going to do that. And are we living up to it? Or have we taken His name in vain? That's what it means to take God's name in vain. And since there is no persecution like there has been in times past here in America, at least, there's not persecution like that. So what can we look for to see if someone is genuine? Because all we can't read people's hearts. All we can see is what they show us. But a lot of what you show is what's in your heart.
Amen.
Almost everything you show is what's in your heart.
Amen.
So what are you showing? Are you faithful? Is each of us fulfilling our role as we've been put in this body? Are we also, because here's what happens when we take God's name in vain, we hurt His name and His cause. That's why it's called blasphemy. It is blasphemy to take His name in vain. Because it hinders those looking at us. When we take His name in vain, we make ourselves a hypocrite. That's what we do. We make ourselves a hypocrite. And this is something that each of us needs to examine within our own hearts. Because you can't fix this for anybody else. Only yourself. Now, we as a body will have to deal with a member's unfaithfulness. But even at that, we can go through the steps of church discipline, but even at that, we cannot make them get things right. They have to desire that themselves. They have to want to follow the Lord on their own. So are you the member you ought to be? Are you as faithful as you should be? If you're looking at becoming a member, are you being what you should be? Are you being what God requires of you? You know, someone might say, you know, Pastor Reyes, or Pastor Pineda, I'm sorry, has all these requirements for us. Pastor Pineda expects all this stuff of us here, and I don't see it in the Bible. Look, if that's you, then come talk to me. Say, I don't see this stuff in the Bible. Come, I'm serious. You come to me, and we can sit down. I'm going to say, here. But I've already laid some of that out now, so I hope you're seeing it if you're not. Especially if you're a potential member and you're saying, I'm not seeing this. Well, then just keep coming, keep growing and learning. And if you need to, come talk to me and we can look at these things that God expects of us. But I'm just telling you, let's just take it back to the analogy of His body. If we are His body, which is what we're told in Colossians 1:18 and 24, that the church is His body, then just look at your own body. You can do a check right now. Wiggle all your toes. Wiggle all your fingers. You know, move your arms. Blink your eyes. Feel your lips. Feel your eyelids. All that stuff. And go. Check your heartbeat. Do all that. And ask yourself, did my body show up today? How about yesterday? Was my whole body there? Day before that. How about tomorrow? My whole body going to be there? Well, Lord willing, I hope so. And look at how efficient you are. That'll give you the answer right there. See, God is the one that places us in this body. You don't put yourself here.
Right.
You don't. See, it goes back to authority. It all goes back to authority. You can go baptize yourself. You're still not in His church. You can say, but I believe all these doctrines. You're still not in His church. You don't get to do that. Because why? Because it's outside of His authority, what He said. Because we're only executors. We're not legislative. So we don't get to do that. We're not allowed to do that. You have to go His way. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That Spirit leads us to be baptized. It's all God. God's the one that translates us. He's the one that does that amazing work that we cannot do, putting us, placing us in His body through those baptismal waters. And I said, someone can just baptize themselves. They can go into that baptistry and go underwater and come out. And it's still, if it's outside of the authority of God's Word, it means nothing. One of you can come in here and baptize somebody else and say, you're a member here now. Nope, not true. Because it's outside the authority of God's Word. It doesn't line up with what He has said. Because those waters aren't anything. It all has to do with authority. And we have to submit to His authority. His way. We don't get to do it outside of that. So it's not me making this stuff up.
Amen.
It's me doing, fulfilling my position in this body, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, as I am a gift to this church, it's me fulfilling my role in teaching you so you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, so you can be grounded in the faith, so you can perfect the saints, so you can be mature, so you can be what you should be, so you can feast on the milk of the Word and be able to teach others. Me teaching you this is me fulfilling my part, my role in this body. And I'm teaching you what the Bible says, what the Word of God teaches. So it's not me making this stuff up, deciding that here's I just arbitrarily I get to make things up and we get to do it like this. But no, it's me laying down what the Word of God says. And this is what we as a body hold to, because it's His doctrine. Because we love Him, therefore we keep His commandments. And we don't work outside of those commandments. So again, it's very clear to me what faithful is. If you're confused, again, just look at your body. Just look at your body and ask yourself, did all of me show up today? Did all of me show up today? I mean, I thank God the stuff I can't see within here is working. I don't even know what all of it does, but I know it's got a function in there, and I'm glad it's working. And I'm glad my kidneys are you know, filtering, you know, the liquids that come through me and other things. I don't know which one does what, but they're filtering everything out that they need to. I mean, we've got all these organs in us that are doing their job, and I'm thankful they do. You know, your liver stops working, and what do you put? What do? You know, people have to, you know, end up hurting. You know, people's organs aren't working right. You know, they got to have oxygen. They got to be on dialysis. They have to get blood transfusions. I mean, all these different things. Just think about even people, you got a bad joint or something. You know, a lot of people will go and get those, what are those shots called that they give them? I forget the name of them, but they'll give them those shots that temporarily relieve the pain in their joints. You know, why? Because it's not working like it should. I'm thankful all of me's working right. And all of me's here. But that's what faithful is. Just what does your body do? It always shows up. It's that simple. And that's how we can tell, because we're not facing persecution, so there's no threat to your life if you are going to join His body and take His name and say, I'm taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking God's name as mine. Okay, then don't take it in vain. Don't take it with your lips and not take it with your life, or you're taking it in vain. You say, well, what does it mean to take it with my life? It means to be faithful. And again, that is the baseline. That's not everything. That's the baseline. This is the start of it. That's not everything. Faithful involves all sorts of stuff. But the baseline is that I just show up. That's the baseline. So don't take His name in vain. If you're not intending, especially potential members, if you were thinking of considering here, and even members now that are not what you should be, but if you are thinking of joining this, or you already are a part of this, then are you faithful? And are you willing to, you know, count the cost? Especially potential members, count the cost and say, am I willing to live that? Am I willing to die to self and to live for Jesus Christ? Then again, what we require is show us faithfulness. Because as we grow and learn the Bible, look, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. And I've learned a lot, and I'm trying to align my life with this Bible. And that's what it means. When I say, look, when I make this statement that the Bible can always correct us, I don't just say that just to sound good. Okay, because yeah, that's a good Bible stance. Yeah, the Bible can always correct us. I know people that say it and the Bible never corrects them. You show them they're wrong and it never corrects them.
Right.
But when I say that, I mean it. I actually mean that. And you all have grown with us through changes that we've made in this church. And guess what? They're still coming. There's still changes. Why? Because we grow and we learn and we realize, no, that's not right. That's not best. We need to change that. We need to fix that. And that's what we do. We let the Bible correct us. So I know right now that as the pastor of this church, and let me maybe teach this. I think I've taught it before, but maybe I haven't, is that, look, there's a check and balance, so to speak, about people joining this church. And it's amongst the whole body. Okay, we all can put a check on that. Because we bring that person before the body, they give their testimony, and we're even going to change that a bit, where it's like now, like you all, after you hear their testimony, if you have questions for them, you can ask. Because we need to know that, like, if you think there's something questionable, ask. And then if you know, 99% of our membership is like, yes, let's let them join, and you're the one that says, I don't know about that, then you need to be the one. That's not unity. You need to be the one that says, I'm against it, and give your reasons why. And then it's like, okay, it doesn't mean we hate the person that's trying to join. It doesn't mean we think they're evil. It just means, hey, let's look at this. Let's put a hold on this. Let's whatever the situation is, let's kind of, you know, let's talk about that with this person. And maybe it's nothing, and we may be coming back in 2 weeks and doing it. But let's get the Lord's mind on it. But there's that check, and there's also the check of me as the pastor, and I'm the one that has had hands laid on me. And just like I can't force you as a body, when I'm included in that, but I hope you understand what I'm saying, but I can't force you as a body to receive someone as a member, and you can't force me as a body to baptize them. There's that check. And again, I think if you want some understanding of that, go back and listen to the message that Brother Woody preached at my ordination. It's on our website, okay? And why there needs to be the laying on of hands and that, because the pastor understands doctrine. Because within a membership, you can have all the way from spiritual babies to mature saints that do understand it, but not everyone will. So there needs to be someone in there to say, no, let's guide this, and let's say that we can't have that person because they're not what they should be. So with that, as a body, and this is what we have, you know, I'll bring more of this out because the men and I had a meeting on Sunday, and we discussed these things on what we're going to require for members and what is considered faithful and when church discipline will begin to happen to someone that's unfaithful. And all of the men were in unity on that. And I will be bringing that stuff before us, and I'll be presenting it to us. And as a body, we'll decide, yes, we're in agreement with this. But I just want to say right now that all of the men were in unity. Every one of us. I don't see a reason why we should be opposed to this, but we'll let the body decide. Again, it's not me forcing my will on people. No, it's like, here's what the Bible teaches, and here's what we've decided based on that, and here's some parameters we have put in place to protect his body. But I'm saying all of that to say this, that I won't baptize someone that's not faithful already.
Amen.
To everything. To everything. And it's okay if you can't be. Just keep coming until you can get that in line. And when you can get that in line, we're happy to have you. We want you.
Amen.
We want you. And someone can tell me, they say, well, you know, you as a church or you as a pastor, you're keeping people from obeying the Lord. No, I'm not.
Amen.
I'm teaching them what God taught, what Jesus taught, to seek ye first. Can someone help me? What does first mean? What does first mean? Number one, so like it's the first thing you do? I mean, let's say you're like, well, how else can we explain that, Pastor? Right. How else can we explain that? So in doing that, I'm teaching them to seek ye first. We, not just me, we as a body are teaching them to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not give excuses why they don't have to. And one thing that has hindered all of us, I know me personally, it's hindered me, is looking out at Christendom and seeing what they've allowed. And then looking at that and saying, well, we're stricter than they are. We're closer to what the Bible says. So this is right. If it's not what the Bible says, it's not right.
Amen.
We want to be what the Bible says, not closer to it. And again, in that is growth. We grow, we learn, and that's what part of this, even me discussing these things right now, is us having grown and learned some things, realizing we've made some mistakes, and we're going to get the Lord's church better in line with His Word. Better in line with His Word. And that's what we want to do. We want to be faithful to God. Faithful. And the baseline is simply just being here. Being a part of what we do. And let me take it beyond that just a bit. Not just being here in attendance. not just having our body here. Because I can pull up a dead body and say, man, they got all the parts of the body there. And everything on that body could have been functioning except for one part. Let's just stop the heart. And what do we got? We got a dead body. So just being here isn't enough. We need to be here and functioning.
Amen.
Here and engaged. Here and involved. Here and united. One. One. And for that to happen requires submission to the Lord. It requires absolute submission to the Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope this is a help to us. I'm trying to teach us right now, and I truly do hope that this is a help. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now we know this is written to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Verse 10, he says to the church of God at Corinth, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, there it is. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm beseeching you by. Under the authority of that. Under the authority of the name of which you took, because he says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." You took that name. He says, so under that name, I'm beseeching you, brethren, I'm coming to you. Here's what he says, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Yeah. None. Not that there be maybe two or three divisions among you. But he says, no, that there be no divisions among you. None. Not even one. That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The same mind and the same judgment. That means we all need to have the same mind and the same judgment. That's unity, and that's what church discipline is going to look towards that. This is why he's telling them this, because he knows the messed up problems that they have there, and they need to fix this division that is there. And when you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's some wicked things going on, and he tells them you need to fix it, and then you need to judge. And what do you need to judge? You need to have the same mind. See, Paul heard about what was going on, and he said, this is wicked and needs to be stopped right now. You know what was going on there in Corinth was so bad that he said, this is beyond Matthew 18. We can skip right past that. Bring them before the church right now, because they're bringing shame on the name of Jesus Christ. So you bring them before the church right now and kick them out. They need to be gone, because it's commonly reported that there's fornication among you, and such as is not even named among the Gentiles. This is so wicked. Get them out right now, because they're diseasing your body and they're bringing reproach on the name of the Lord. But what did he say? You all need the same mind. He said, the mind that I just told you, you all need to think like that. You all need to think like that. He wasn't the pastor. We understand he was in the position of an apostle, but in that position that he had of him going and starting that church, he went to them and he said, because of his knowledge of the Bible and what the Bible was, he said, here's what needs to happen. He led in that. He led them in that and said, this is what needs to take place. That's pastoral leadership is what's happening there. And it's not contrary to the Bible. What he was telling them is in line with what the Bible teaches. But they needed the same mind and the same judgment. If there's an issue comes up and there's different judgment in it, then guess what? There's division. There's division, and that cannot stay. That cannot stay. Something has to be done about that. It must be fixed. It has to. Paul dealt with it. And as a body, that's what we have to do. Now, I can tell you, apart from this church, any church I've been a part of, which has only been one other church in name only, but other churches that I know of, I have never one time in my life heard of them exercising church discipline. Never. Never have I heard of it. As I've spoken with other preachers within the IFB movement, one of them that has had 40 plus years experience in you know, so-called church work, he says one of the greatest problems within the IFB, Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement, he says, and we're not that. I just want us to say we're not that, okay, but that's what I came out of. Okay, but within that movement, one of the greatest problems, he says, there's no church discipline. And he just started rattling off case after case to me. He said, I know of this here, this here, this here, this here. And there's none, and that's exactly what I've seen. And that's not right, because it allows division to stay in a church, and that's like a cancer, and it spreads and it destroys. Because we're to be in unity. Go last one last place. One last place. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. This is a passage I took the men to on last Sunday. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So Jesus, when he ascended, he led those that were in Abraham's bosom captive, and he gave gifts unto men. All right, now verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these gifts that he gave to the church. And what were they? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. There it is, the maturing. The growth, okay? The maturing of the saints, the perfecting of the saints. Why? So that the saints can do the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry, here it is, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. So to edify the body of Christ, look at this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he says, I gave you a pastor so that you can come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To be a perfect man, what are you measuring yourself to? Jesus Christ. So that's why I gave a pastor. I think he understood that pastors were sinners just like you are. He said, but I gave you a pastor to help line you out. That's why the Bible can always correct us. And when we see that that's been messed up, then we can say, hopefully the pastor says, this is wrong and we need to fix it. Okay? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So how do we come into the unity of the faith? Through the knowledge of the Son of God. Through knowing Him more. Through His Word. His Word corrects us. Okay? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So why do you have a pastor? So you're not tossed to and fro like a child. Children are tossed to and fro. Children don't know what to believe. Children hear one thing and they're just run with it. Doesn't even matter if it's true. That's what children do. This is why we have to start with the milk of the word. That's the foundation. And we build up from there. That's why you have a pastor to continue to teach you for the edifying of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why you have a pastor. Okay, to get you beyond being a child so you can handle strong meat. Ephesians 5 and 6. Or I'm sorry, Hebrews 5 and 6. Okay, so you can get beyond the milk and get to strong meat. Paul said, I want to give you strong meat. You're not able to bear it. He told that to the church at Corinth. He said it in Hebrews. Wherefore, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Or the first principles. Kind of mixing a couple verses up there, but you understand what I'm saying. You ought to be teaching, but you're not. You can't handle it. Why? You're dull of hearing. You know what that means there in Hebrews chapter 5? I think it's verse 11 or 12. It says you're dull of hearing. It means you won't receive it. It says it's not that you're not being taught, because it's being taught. But you won't receive it. And that's why your growth spiritually is stunted. Because you won't receive it. You should be teaching, but you won't receive it. You're dull of hearing. Your ears are stopped up. You're not letting it in. You've hardened your heart to it. You question everything that's given out. You don't study yourself to verify that what's being said is truth. Or you don't like what you're hearing, so it's in one ear and out the other. That's the problem that was going on in Hebrews chapter 5. You're dull of hearing. And that's the same reason why people don't grow spiritually today. That's one of the reasons. I mean, sin coming in can be another reason, but, you know, they all kind of work with each other. But one of the reasons that someone doesn't grow spiritually is because they've just stopped it. Nope, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to receive it. They purpose not to receive it, so they stay spiritual infants, carnal. That's what takes place. So a pastor is given so that you're not like a child tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now here we go, talking about the unity that we need, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Fitly joined together. See, it doesn't mean that just every part is here, not participating. No, it says fitly joined together. That means it's prepared. Amen. It's spiritually strong. We're ready. Pastor, what have you got? Teach us. Give us something from the Word of God. Let's go do this. What? Soul winning Saturday? Praise the Lord. Let's go.
Amen.
Oh, soul winning Sunday? Praise the Lord. Let's go. You know what? Hey, this Thursday.
Amen.
Soul winning at 6. Join us at Landmark. Hey, praise the Lord. Let's go. Fitly joined together. That's, you're actively involved. This is what it means to be faithful, not just that I'm here. Because again, we can pull out a dead body that had a heart that stopped beating, and we can say it's all there, but there's no life. That thing's useless. So what does it mean to be faithful? It's more than just showing up. It means I'm actively engaged. You know what they did in Acts? It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Boom, that's what's happening right now. The apostles' doctrine's being given. Look at this, get this next. And in fellowship. And in fellowship. That means talk with everyone. Not just certain people. Talk with everyone. Get this. And in breaking of bread. And in breaking of bread. That's active engagement in what the body's doing. Now, I can't read people's hearts, but if you have a problem with what's being said right now, I can tell you this. Your heart is not right with God.
Amen.
Your heart is not right with God if you have a problem with what's being said. Because this is straight from the Bible, the things that I'm telling you. You know what it said over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 39? Then they that gladly received his word. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And those 3,000 souls continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. That's what happened. See, pastors given so that the whole body can be fitly joined together and compacted. Now get this, by that which every joint supplieth. See, every joint supplying its part. Every joint is doing its part. See, it's an active membership, and that's what we want. That's what we're going to require. I believe I'm laying down the case for why we're requiring this. It'll amaze. I'm not saying, look, if you have questions, please come to me with them. Maybe you need clarification or something. But I think I've made this understandable, that this is clearly what God expects of his body, which every joint supplieth. Every joint, it's fitly joined, and every joint is supplying its part, doing its part. That may take us, you know, maybe just even getting our own hearts right with God so we can come here joyfully. Maybe, you know, we had a bad morning at home and we just need to come here with the right attitude so that we can truly worship God as we should, instead of in a bad attitude. We've all probably been there before, and that doesn't make it right. It's wrong for us to come here with that attitude. But joyful to see one another. Everyone. So fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, the effectual working in the measure of every part. There it is again, every part, and it's effectual. When everyone does their part, it's effectual. It works. And what does it do? It maketh increase of the body. It increases the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, we love ourselves. When we take care of this church, it just shows that we love ourselves. When we do our part, it just shows that we love ourselves. That's what it does. But did you know that to have a physically fit body means that you have to tell yourself no sometimes? Means you have to sacrifice sometimes? I mean, look at Olympic athletes and how much they give and sacrifice to be fit, to edify themselves, to get stronger, to build themselves up. They have to give things up. It means that they don't eat donuts. They take that out. But they're going to eat a salad or something. But they're going to give things up so that they can be edified, so their body can get bigger and stronger. And it's no different for us as a body. We may have to give up some things that we as individual members like, but that are putting us in a position to where we may possibly be seeking the kingdom of God second or third. And we have to be willing to put those things in their proper order so that we can say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to seek His kingdom first. So I'm going to sacrifice so that this body can be built up, edified, because I'm going to be a joint that supplies. But you see, if we're unwilling to do that, if we say, I'm not going to be a joint that supplies, and by the way, no one in here is going to actually say, I'm not going to be that joint. Okay, no one's going to verbalize that. I doubt. Maybe someone would. But I doubt it. But we may not verbalize it, say it, but we will. Here's what will happen. If that's our attitude, we will live it. We will live that way. So you might not say it, but you'll live it. And if we are doing that, if you are in here and you're doing that, you're saying that, this is kind of secondary and I like where I'm at right now and I'm going to keep it that way, then what you are doing is taking God's name in vain. And the Bible says God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You're a blasphemer. You are blaspheming God's holy name. So we have to ask ourselves if we are willing to live up to the name of Christ. Every member of this church needs to ask themselves, if I'm willing to live up to the name of Christ, if I'm willing to die to self and live for Jesus Christ, if I'm willing to be an active, involved part, if I'm willing to joyfully receive His word as they did, be baptized, and joyfully continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. Why? So that this body can be built up. I want to be effectual in it. I want to do my part. I want to be that joint that's supplying so this body can be edified, because I love this body. Amen. That's why. To the edifying of itself in love. In love. Again, Jesus said, if ye love me, that me includes his body. Because it is him. We are him. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's all circular. It all helps. If we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. Well, if I keep his commandments, then I'm going to build up his body. Then I'm going to edify his body. If I love him, I'm going to love his body, because it just fits. Unto the edifying of itself, the body, in love. So if you say, I'm not going to be a joint that supplies, then what you're saying is, I don't love his body and I don't love God. It's that simple. It's that simple. You can, again, you can give all the excuses that you want, all the reasons that you want. But if you're not willing to be what he requires of us, if I'm not willing to be what he requires of me as a member of this church, then all it proves is that I don't love him. Amen. That's it. It's that simple. It's not difficult. Jesus' statement in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's our proof of it. That's proof that we love him. That's the evidence. He said, I'm going to know that you love me because you keep my commandments. I'm going to know that you love me because you love the brethren. It's that simple. And if we don't, we just show that we don't love him. If we're not willing to be that joint fitly joined together, which effectually works, then all we're saying is, I don't love his body and I don't love him. It's that simple. So what is it? Where are we at? Members now, where are you at? In your heart, where are you at? Well, can't we see? Where are you at? We can only see what's on the outside, what you show us. And you can be here faithfully all the time for everything and there's no love in here just because people are able to do that. You can have the character to do that and there'd be no love for him. Where are you at in your heart? Members now, where are you at in your heart? Do you truly love him? Is he first in your life? If he is, his church will be. If he is first in your life, his church will be. Potential members, those that are considering joining, where are you at? Do you have that commitment in you to him, to be that? That's what he requires of you. That's what he requires of us. And it's not like, well, I'll just do it for now and then I'm in. No. If anything, we should get better as we go. Again, as we look at persecution that came, that was like pretty easy. Like, are you willing to give your life for Jesus? Because you might be dead tomorrow if you go in those baptismal waters. I'm like, if they see us right now, if they see us baptizing you right now in this lake, then, like, I hope you can run fast. Seriously, because you're going to give your life for it. So you're going to be like, yeah, I'll do it. Sure, whatever. That sounds good. No, you're going to think, man, this is like serious stuff. Like, I'm going to be hunted down for the rest of my life. Am I willing to do that? And if you say yes to that, then you're pretty committed. But for us today, it's got to be faithfulness. And again, that's what the Bible laid down. That's how we can prove it. That's how we can show it. And if someone's not willing to show that, then that's okay. We don't hate the person. We don't hate you if you're not willing to show that. But you're not fit to be a member of his body according to his laws. And we're executors of that.